figure out where fuck me. All that is to that valley where fuck me. It dies inside me. Unda, 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 unda. Unda, unda, this only don't know me more. Unda, unda, alo, unda, unda, unda.
Good morning, everyone.
Morning, sir.
Amen.
Amen.
Let's stand up to pray. Amen, amen.
Amen.
Blessings and glory.
Glory.
Wisdom has given. Power and might be unto the Lord forever and ever. Amen, amen, amen. Alleluia. And glory, wisdom, thanksgiving, and honor, power and might be unto the Lord forever and ever. Amen, amen, amen. Amen, amen, blessings and glory, glory, wisdom, thanksgiving, and honor, power and might be unto the Lord forever and ever. Excellent is your name in all the earth. How excellent is your name, O Lord. O Lord, my God. How excellent is your name in all the earth. How excellent is your name, O Lord. O Lord, my God, how excellent is your name in all the earth. How excellent is your name. O Takoko, fun ola ti ran mi lowo. O Takoko, fun ola ti gbadura mi. Baba kola lo mi ran leyin re. O Takoko, dide ran mi lowo. O Takoko, fun ola ti ran mi lowo. O Takoko, fun ola ti gbadura mi. Baba ko le lo mi ran leyin re. O Takoko, dide ran mi lowo. Baba dupe fore ti e se nigba ti yo. O ti Takoko, e wa se mi ran si. A le ma jo, a le ma yo, a le ma yo logo. O Takoko, fun ola ti ran mi lowo. O Takoko, fun ola ti gbadura mi. Baba ko le lo mi ran leyin re. O Takoko, dide ran mi lowo. you for another day. In the midst of all the troubles, problems of the world, you are keeping us. Thank you for sustaining us. Thank you for guiding us. Thank you for leading us. We thank you for nourishing our lives. Thank you for blessing us. Thank you for illuminating our paths. Thank you for showing us your way. Glory be to your name in Jesus' name. As we fellowship in your presence today, cause more of your goodness to be our portion. Cause more of your blessing to be our portion. Cause your favor to be our portion. Cause the purpose of the devil for our lives to be defeated. And cause your will to be done in us. We share your word this morning. Cause our hearts to be blessed. Satan, you have no business here. Pack your load and go. Stay away from us. Disturb none of us. I order you in Jesus' name. Everlasting Father, your name is glorified today. In Jesus' name I pray. Shall we please be seated? Is there anyone here with testimony this morning? If you have testimony to share, raise your hand. Testimony. Two of us. Okay. Yeah. Come out.
Praise the Lord. Praise the living Jesus. Last week, maybe Thursday or Friday, I'm not really sure there's that time, I sent myself on there going to this shop to buy something, but I'm not really sure, maybe I was sent or I sent myself there. And as I'm going just to the at the entrance, or I'm about to open the door that leads to the to that woman that is selling something there, I saw a snake, greenish in nature. Just, I don't know where it's coming from, but all I know suddenly is that as I'm about to step out, I also saw something pass in a high speed. What is this? But it's my own imagination. Later on, I saw it along a far distance. He checked me and he was looking at me from a far distance. I was watching. So you are the one hanging around here, because I was wondering within that gate and that space, I was wondering, has it been hiding there or is having a mission within the compound? But as I'm about to step out, I saw it's passing by with a high speed. I was wondering, only God knows why this snake pass at this time. And every time, the most common of my dream is killing snake, but when I see them doing physical, I'm so scared. So that's the most common of a thing. The second one, when I'm in school, and since before I give my life to Christ and after, I have two accidents in my life. One on bike, and saliva just hits part of my flesh. We were rushed to hospital. But another one, when we were playing ball in school, I was in SS3 then, or SS2 rather. I'm not really sure about that time. We were playing ball. Also, I have, one of my brothers in the class also, he wounded me on my face. That's why I have two scratch marks on my body. But why I want to really give thanks to God this morning is that since I've been experiencing people who accident, anything, accident of a thing, I have not had a reason to have a broken range or broken anything of bone or even cut out of flesh. And the funniest part and the glorious to God, and I can say it is the work of God, none of my family am I able to say that, is it your body or your bone is outside like this? I've not experienced any of my family bring us to hospital for maybe an accident that removed his bone. So this is why I'm thanking God for how he's kept me through in any and maybe minor of fatigue or any accident it may be. I haven't had a reason to record breaking bones or any accident that leads to death. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah. Ẹ̀rí arákùnrin wa dá lórí kílẹ̀pẹ́ ejò òkè o. Ó ní òun fẹ́ jáde sí ẹ̀yìn kùlé ń bẹ̀ yìí. Òun kàn rí nǹkan kan tó lọ fìhàn pẹ̀lú eré. Òun wá wò kí lélẹ̀ ìgbò déwájú wa dúró. Ó wò òun òkè ìwọ ló dúró sí ibi kí ló ń ṣe ń bí. Ó ní tó sì máa ń ṣẹlẹ̀ sóun ni pé òun máa ń sábà lálàá kó ń pa ejò. Tóun bá ti wá rí ejò lójú ayé ó máa ń dẹ́rù bá òun. Ṣùgbọ́n mi mọ́bi tó parí ẹ̀ sí o. Ó sà lóhùn ọmọ tó wá ṣe ládùúgbò. Ẹ̀rí kíní ni ẹ̀rí kejì ó ní òun ti ní accident lẹ́ẹ̀mejì. Ó sọ àwọn ìgbà tó ní tí sàlẹ́ǹsà jó òun. Ó ní ṣùgbọ́n kò sígbà kankan tí egungun ẹsẹ̀ òun kán rí àbí egungun apá òun. Oni kò ṣẹlẹ̀ sí ẹbí òun kankan ló ń ṣe ń dúpẹ́ lọ́wọ́ Ọlọ́run.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Orúkọ mi ni Fajembola. Mo gbé ní number 20 Ìdòwú Ṣóbadé. Ẹ̀rí mi àkọ́kọ́ ó lọ bá ní ìjẹsàn. Mo wọ Márúwá mo lọ sí àgbàdo. So mo ṣe wá wọ ọkọ̀ yẹn. Mo wá fún ní 500. Ó wá lòun ò rí ṣéǹjì. Ó ṣá bínú. Àwa ṣéǹjì títí àrí ṣéǹjì. So bó ṣe bínú lọ nìyẹn. Bó ṣe wá bínú lọ ọkàn mi ò balẹ̀ lórí 50 naira tí mo fẹ́ fún. Torí pé kò dúró gba owó yẹn. So n tún fẹ́ fún ni pé mo ṣàwá gbàdúrà pé wọ́n lọ́run. Bí mo ṣe ń lọ yìí ọlọ́kadà ni oní Márúwá yìí ibikíbi tó bá wà. Nígbà tí n bá máa padà bọ̀ jẹ́ kí n pàdé rẹ̀ kí n fún ní owó rẹ̀. So bí mo ṣe wá ń bọ̀ nìkan bí aago mẹ́sàn-án ṣẹlẹ̀ ṣẹlẹ̀ nìkan bí aago mẹ́rin nìkan bí aago mẹ́sàn-án abalẹ̀ mo wá ń padà bọ̀. Bí mo ṣe bá ní ojú ọ̀nà nìyẹn ló wá ń bọ̀ lẹ́yìn. So wa ń dádúró pé so ṣá dúró mo wá lọ mú owó yẹn mo wá lọ mú fún. Ihun tí mo fẹ́ fàyọ ni pé nígbà bó ṣe lọ yẹn lórí 50 naira tí òdúró mọ̀ ọkàn mi ò balẹ̀ lórí ẹ̀. Ṣùgbọ́n mo gbàdúrà Ọlọ́run gba àdúrà mi. Ẹ̀rí mi kejì ó lọ wáyìí. Nǹkan bíi ọ̀sẹ̀ méjì sí bíi tàbí mẹ́ta àwọn olè wọ́n lọ ká àbúrò mi mọ́ ibi tó wà. So bó ṣe rí wọn nínú àwọn olè yẹn ẹni mímọ́ wà nínú wọn. Débi pé bó ṣe wá rí wọn pé kí lòun fẹ́ ṣe orí wọn pọ̀ ń bẹ̀ mọ́ ṣe débi kí lẹ̀ ń ṣe ń bí. So ìgbà tóun dẹ̀ ti ri pé ẹni mímọ́ wà nínú wọn ó bá ṣubú lulẹ̀ ó wá bẹ̀rẹ̀ sí ṣe bí. Bí ẹni ẹ ṣe wá wò pé ọ̀gá ìjọ wo lẹ́dà báyìí kíni kan ó ṣàbẹ̀rẹ̀ sí ṣe pé ibi tí wọ́n ti fẹ́ máa ṣọṣẹ́ wọn nìyẹn wá ní rárá ẹ fi sílẹ̀ ẹ má tó ṣe rárá ẹ má tó ṣe wọ́n ṣáṣe gbé e sí ọ̀kadà nìyẹn láti omo ni wọ́n ti fi ọ̀kadà gbé wá sí ìkọ̀lé wọ́n dẹ̀ gbé wá sí inú ilé. Ìgbà tó wá di ọjọ́ kejì ọmọ olè yìí tún padà wá láti wá bá pé báwo ni ara yín ṣe rí nǹkan kan bákan ọkọ ó ṣàwá bí ẹsẹ méjì bí ẹ̀ẹ̀mejì lọ́jọ́ yẹn. So mo fẹ́ kẹ bá mi dúpẹ́ fún ni pé mi ò lójú ẹkún mi ò lẹ́rẹ̀kẹ́ òṣì. So ẹ bá mi dúpẹ́ lọ́wọ́ Ọlọ́run ẹ bá mi pé hallelujah méje sí Ọlọ́run.
That's funny. Goodness in a bad place. Praise the Lord. The testimony was about his brother. He said robbers went to attack them where they were. And his brother happened to know one of the robbers. So when he saw that one, he knew his life would be in danger. So he decided to behave like is he drunkard or madman? And he fell down and was behaving funny. And when the rest people wanted to touch him, he said, no, don't touch him. So when they, I don't know whether they did their business, when they finished, they now put him on a motorcycle and brought him from about the fourth or fifth town to his hometown, drop it in his house. The second day, the arm robber came back to check him and say, how are you now? He came about two times. Two times. Should he report the robber to police? What did you say? So you should encourage the robber to be robbing. He should be security conscious. I think somebody else have to do the reporting, not him. Not him. And the robber is on the way to repentance, I think. I don't know. I don't know. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
May God give us more testimonies. We are going to share a message this morning from hallelujah. 7. Okay, the second testimony was about okay. Both are funny. He said he entered a tricycle, and when it was time to pay, the Marwa man did not have change. He too did not have. So the man left the money with him and went away. He said he didn't have peace of mind. So as he was thinking about it, he decided to pray that, Father, perform your miracle that this man, I will see him again and pay him his money. He said that happened around 4 p.m. By around 9 p.m., as he was returning, he saw the man, stopped him, and was able to pay. So he's thanking God that God answered the prayer. And let me seize the opportunity to pray, to tell you that you pray about every situation. God will answer. That reminds me of that our song. It's a Yoruba song. Kagbadura son to ba soro.
Baba yogbebe.
Yogba.
Baba yogbebe.
Yogba o.
Baba yogbebe.
Kagbadura son to ba soro. Baba yogbebe. Yogba.
Baba yogbebe.
Yogba o. Kadura son to ba soro baba yo bebe. Pray about every difficulty. The Father will hear. So we are going to the book of John chapter 5 from verse 2. And there at Jerusalem by the sheep market a pool which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having five porches. In this lay a great multitude of impotent folk, of blind, halt, withered, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain season into the pool, and troubled the water. Whosoever then first after the troubling of the water stepped in was made whole of whatsoever disease he had. Sister, read.
Adagun omi kan si wa ni Jerusalem leti bodi agutan ti a npe ni Bethesda ni ede Eberu oni iloro marun.
Go on.
Ninu wonyi ni opo awon abirun eniyan gbe ndubule si awon afoju aro ati awon gbigbe won si nduro de riru omi nitori angeli a ma da igba sokale lo sinu adagun na a si ma ru omi. Lẹyin igba ti a ba ti ru omi na han enikeni ti o ba ko wo inu re a di alara dida ninu arun karun ti o ni.
And a certain man was there which had an infirmity 38 years. When Jesus saw him lie and knew that he had been now a long time in that case, he said unto him, wilt thou be made whole? The impotent man answered him, Sir, I have no man when the water is troubled to put me into the pool, but while I am coming, another stepeth down before me. Jesus said unto him, Rise, take up thy bed, and walk. And immediately the man was made whole, and took up his bed, and walked. And on the same day was the Sabbath.
Ọkùnrin kan si wa nibe, eni ti o wa ni ailera re ni odun mejidinlogoji. Bi Jesu si ti ri ni idubule, ti o si mo pe o pe ti o ti wa be, o wi fun pe iwo fe ki a mu o lara da bi. abirin na da lohun wi pe ogbeni emi ko ni eni ti ba gbe mi sinu adagun nigba ti a ba nru omi na bi emi ba tin bo wa elomiran a sokale sinu re siwaju mi Jesu wi fun pe dide pe akete re ki o si ma rin lokun asimu okunrin na larada o si gbe akete re o si rin ojo na si je ojo isimi.
The Jews therefore said unto him that was killed, it is the Sabbath day, it is not lawful for thee to carry thy bed. He answered them, he that made me whole, the same said unto me, take up thy bed and walk. Then asked they him, what man is that? We said unto thee, take up thy bed and walk. And he that was healed wist not who it was, for Jesus had conveyed himself away, a multitude being in that place. Afterward, Jesus findeth him in the temple, and said unto him, behold, thou art made whole. Sin no more, lest a worse thing come unto thee. The man departed and told the Jews that it was Jesus which had made him whole. And therefore did the Jews persecute Jesus and sought to slay him, because he had done these things on the Sabbath day.
Nitori na awon Jew wi fun okunrin na ti amularada pe ojo isimi ni oni ko to fun o lati gbe akete re o si da won lohun wi pe eni ti o mu mi larada oni o wi fun mi pe gbe akete re ki o si ma rin nigba na ni won bi lere wi pe okunrin wo ni eni ti o mu o larada okunrin wo ni eni ti o wi fun o pe gbe akete re ki o si ma rin eni ti amularada na ko si mo eni ti se nitori Jesu ti kuro nibe nitori awon eniyan pupo wa nibe leyin na Jesu ri ni temple o si wi fun pe wo amu olarada ma dese mo ki ohun ti o buruju yi lo ki o ma ba ba o
this
okay o si so fun awon ju pe Jesu ni eni ti o mu ohun larada.
We have so many lessons to learn from this story.
Ani opo lopo eko lati ko nipa itan yi.
It talks about the mercy of God. It talks about the badness of sin. It talks about the limitations of man. And so on and so forth. The first thing we look at is the mercy of God. The Bible tells us in the first verse we read, verse 2, that at that time there was a pool at Jerusalem. Jerusalem is, in my own understanding, the greatest city in the world. The most problematic. It has a lot of friends. In the world of today, we have many religions. But the three principal ones are Christianity, Islam, and Judaism. All of them are laying claim to Jerusalem as their city. And because of that, Jerusalem is being pulled by each of these religions. If Christians say they are going on pilgrimage today, they go to Jerusalem. The Muslims have one of their greatest mosques at Jerusalem. If you get to the Wailing Wall, the remnant of the old wall of Jerusalem, you meet Judaizers praying at the wall. Jerusalem originally belonged to the Jebusites. It was Salem of the Jebusites that was later called Jerusalem. The children of Israel dislodged the Jebusites. They overcame them and took over the city. It was David that actually had the final control over the city. A part of it was even called the city of David, also called Zion. It was a fortress. Now, at Jerusalem in the days of Jesus, there was a pool. A pool of healing. It was called Bethesda. It talks about the mercy of God. At this pool, there were, let me call it tents, where people could stay. And a lot of people were staying there. Some people have turned these tents to their houses because of their desire to get healed. Seasonally, we don't know how often, angels will come to the pool, trouble it. We are told that the first person to enter into the pool, after it was troubled, was cured of whatever ailment he had. And this attracted a lot of people to the pool. This particular man heard of the pool and went there. First year, second year, third year, 10th year, 20th year, 30th year. No way. Before he was able to enter into the pool, the people that were healthier than him will rush into the pool. When they finished, they will go away. Nobody pitied him to the extent of maybe staying with him until the angel will trouble the water again and they will take him in. And that was how the place became his house. I want to believe that people, his relatives that must have brought him there originally, had forgotten him there. You wonder, what was he eating there? And that situation had automatically turned him to a beggar. And some of the people that are healed there will be very willing to part with what they have. Maybe as an appreciation to God who has healed them. Praise the Lord. I said, maybe as an appreciation to God who healed them. That God provided this special pool was a great act of mercy. It was a proof that God was merciful. Praise the Lord. God is interested in helping man to solve his problems. Whatever is the nature of the problem of any man, God is interested in helping man to solve his problem. The God we serve is kind, is good, and is very merciful. The provision of that pool then was another proof of the kindness, goodness, and mercifulness of God. And when this pool was proved not to be adequate, because it was only when angels came there that people could be healed there. And there were a lot of people that would like to be healed. And it seems that the pool healed one at a time. Can you imagine that man staying there 38 years? Some other people must have stayed maybe for lesser years, 30 years, 20 years, 15 years. The Bible tells us that there were a lot of people there. God, in his mercifulness, decided to send Jesus to the world. And Jesus went from place to place to heal people of their sicknesses, of their ailments. But there was a problem with that also. Each person that will be healed by Jesus we need to make personal physical contact in most cases with Jesus, or somebody will represent them before Jesus. Jesus was actually searching for people who needed his help, according to Acts chapter 10 verse 38. But God saw that that was not adequate. He decided to give us a name. And this is the name of Jesus. Today, you don't need to travel a short or long distance to look for Jesus so that I can help you. You don't need to send somebody to talk to Jesus on your behalf if you cannot go to him. Anywhere you are, you can call upon the name of Jesus and Jesus will help you. There is one secret we Christians must not forget. The name of Jesus is a name God has given to man, not just to Christians. Many unbelievers had called the name of Jesus when they had trouble, and so as to show them his goodness, when God performed miracles. I told you the story of a man who used this knowledge to win a soul. You too can use the same knowledge. You can tell an unbeliever to call upon the name of Jesus if he has trouble. Though God does not promise to answer all the prayers of unbelievers, but if an unbeliever will show faith in Jesus by calling upon his name in his time of trouble, God will prove himself to the unbeliever as a merciful God. I have told you before the story of this man, a chemist, who through mistake mixed poison with the drug he mixed for a child whose mother had sent to him to buy drug for his ailment. After the child left him, he realized that one of the bottles he brought from the shelf was actually containing poison, and he has mixed it with the rest drug. So he tried to see if he could still see the child. The child had gone out of sight. He didn't know whether left or right the child turned. So he didn't know how to look for the child. What will he do? He became extremely afraid. And while in his shop, he remembered. That man said, if I have a serious problem, I call upon Jesus. Actually, he had told the preacher he did not believe in Jesus. And that man said, if you have serious trouble and Jesus deliver you, will you believe him? He said yes. So the preacher left. We don't know if it was the prayer of the preacher that even created the problem. So he remembered the suggestion of the preacher and then decided to try Jesus and pray something foolish. Jesus, I don't know if you exist too. I don't know if you are there. I may not quote in Fabati. I don't know. But if you can deliver me from this trouble, I will believe you. After the prayer, he waited in his shop, expecting whatever will come. Not long after the prayer, he saw the child running back with tears on his face. He concluded that the woman had drank the poison and they sent the child to go and call the chemist. But by the time the child got to him, the child said, I put the bottle on my head. I was running. I stumbled. The bottle fell and broke. Praise the Lord. That was how God answered the unbeliever's prayer. And he gave his life to Jesus straight away. The name of Jesus is given to man. Any man. The Bible says the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous runneth therein and is saved. But look at me. How many of you are righteous the day you gave your life to Jesus? Eh? I was unrighteous. I was sinful, dirty, stinking. And I ran to the name of Jesus. I was saved. Automatically, it's not only the righteous that is saved through the name of Jesus. Many unrighteous, of which I was one, and you were one, had run to that name in the past and were delivered. Another thing we can learn from this story is that God is unlimited. Everybody say God is unlimited. He can use anything to perform his miracle. Then, at Bethesda, it was a pool. Hallelujah. A pool. When it was the case of Naaman, it was River Jordan. At a time, Jesus used his saliva to mix clay to heal a man. It was a rod in the time of Moses that he used to part the Red Sea. God is unlimited. He can never to achieve his purpose. Praise the Lord. You remember it was a stick in the time of Moses that turned the bitter water of Marah to good water. God is not tied to any method. He can use any method. Just like he used the pool. You know what? Solution to your problem is available where you are. When God decides to solve the problem, it's not going to Jamaica or Germany. The solution is with you where you are. Everyone God have assisted in the past, he was able to assist without necessarily sending them to far distance to solve their problem. Because God is omnipotent. He can do all things. But you need to know one thing. God is not tied to any method he had used before. People often fall into the mistake of tying God to a method he had used before, thinking that that is the method he will use forever. Immediately you begin to tie God to a method, you try to tie God to a method, that method, instead of being a blessing, may become a curse. In the days of Moses, serpents were killing people. To solve the problem, God told Moses to make a brazen serpent. And whosoever will look at the serpent that Moses put on a pole after being bitten by the snake on the ground, the poison of the snake will no longer be effective. And therefore, everyone that was bitten by snake will look to that one. It solved problem then. But the children of Israel later idolized that same serpent that Moses made, to the extent that they were going to worship the snake. Instead of the snake to be a blessing, it was now a curse. God asked Hezekiah to grind it to powder before throwing it away, because it was no longer useful to God. God had used incense before. Today, he says to bring incense to him is abomination. God is not tied to any method. He can do his miracle using any method. The ones he has used before, he can even use a new one. In our nation, Nigeria, because the book of James says the sick could be anointed with oil. People idolize oil. They began to manufacture special oil. They call some anointing oil, Jerusalem oil, and they sold to people. But I said this thing will soon fade away. Today, oil is no longer as popular as it used to be. They changed to handkerchief. because Paul used his handkerchief at Ephesus. I said that one will also fade away. Today, handkerchief is not as popular as it used to be. Some people then began to try all kind of things. I heard of a church where they brought biscuits. I mean biscuits. Especially for miracle. I heard of where they brought sweet. So you want your life to be sweet. Lick tom tom. Sweet. In the days of Apostle Paul, he used water. Who idolized water? Then everybody water. They have gone to the extent of using knives. Some try cutlass and so on and so forth. They don't understand the way of God. Praise the Lord. That God use a thing at a time does not mean that is what he will use forever. In fact, the brazen serpent of Moses, God gave it a name. Nehustan. He called it Nehustan. In Hebrew, that means a piece of brass. And that is how many of those so-called anointing handkerchiefs are ordinary piece of what? Cloth. Hallelujah. Another thing you can see from that story is that it is the will of God that man will be healthy. It's not the will of God that man will be sick. He says, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospers. Don't ask God if it is your will, heal me. It is the will of God to heal you. Especially as a believer. In Exodus chapter 15 verse 26, he says, I will bring none of the diseases I brought upon the Egyptians upon you, for I am the Lord that healeth you. If you are sick, tell God, heal me. Command sickness, go away. If your family members, any loved ones, even somebody you minister to is sick, the Bible says when we lay our hands upon the sick will recover. So if it is not the will of God for us to be sick, why are we sick then? You need to know that the will of God is not always done. Many things work contrary to the will of God. Sometimes, what we consume, the kind of weather we subject ourselves to, the kind of lifestyle we indulge in, and so many other things are capable of creating us sickness. Even the things we use generally. How many of you don't drink pure water? Bottle water. We all drink it. Am I correct? Come on. But the scientists have told us that rubber, plastic, whatever you call it, once you change its temperature, do you make it cooler or you make it hotter? Whatever you pour inside of it, there is a chemical that will be released into that thing. And that chemical is injurious to the body of man. That's why you are told not to use plastic to put anything into microwave oven. But we still put things into microwave oven with plastic. You are expected to put your water inside bottle before you put it inside fridge. Not plastic. But we buy bottled water. I get it inside my fridge. I will still drink it today. You are drinking pure water. And it says it's injurious to our bodies. How many of you don't drink Coke? Fanta. The chemical they put inside these soft drinks, we are told are injurious to our bodies. I stopped drinking Coke, Fanta. I said I will drink the one that has no sugar. I was drinking Sans. Sans people, don't be annoyed. One day I discovered that the one they sold around was fake. I stopped. One day I saw another type. Maybe it's cream soda. They wrote sugar free. I say, buy a carton, put it in my fridge. I drank number one. I said, let me find out some details about this thing I want to start drinking. Cream soda. I went to the internet. And I'm told that though it doesn't contain sugar, what is used to make it sweet is worse than sugar. I said, carry it away from my fridge. These are the things we eat every day. The beans you eat, other things you eat. Do you know what they used to preserve it? That was the time bean was killing them in Lagos. It went so bad that the then governor had to eat bean cake, akara, publicly to prove that government have realized that beans is no longer killing. But by then it has killed a lot of people. Why? We were later told that the beans preserved with chemical to use as seed for planting the next season. Some people broke into where they were stored, stole the beans, brought it to Lagos, sold it to people. People did akakara moi moi and they died. Apart from that, the weather, all this poo today, poo tomorrow, all kind of chemicals that were released into the air, they brought us sickness. Is it not in Mexico yesterday? We are told that some robbers stole a vehicle. But the whole world is crying now that vehicle they stole is containing some dangerous chemical, radioactive chemical. I don't know what they wanted to do with that chemical, that the chemical was inside the vehicle. I don't know if of the thief. Were they just looking for a vehicle to steal? Or were they looking for that chemical to use to attack? That was yesterday. Surely that chemical will land somewhere. And it will land some people in their grave. So we get sick because of many things. Especially the kind of world we live in. But to say the truth, the will of God is for us to be healthy. God does not bless his people with sickness. Before we pray, let me also tell you that from that story we can see that God does not force his blessings on people. God does not force his blessings on people. Many times God have assisted those who did not even know they needed his help. Those who did not ask for his help, he's still doing it. Nevertheless, he often demands for permission before blessing people. That was why sometimes he would say, what do you want me to do for you? This man has been sick for 38 years. Jesus does not need to be told. Through the gift of word of knowledge, he could tell the condition of the man. Through the appearance of the man, he could tell the condition of the man. Through the location of the man, he knew the man was sick, he needed help. Nevertheless, Jesus said, do you want to be made whole? And that is the question God is still asking. Anybody that needs the help of God, let him ask for the help. He that asketh, come on, receive it. But the man answered and said, friend, I have no man. So all the days he was there, he was actually looking for a man that will assist him, put him in the water when the angel troubled the water. Even if he was able to get a man, there were healthy people who are having just little ailments and still want to be healed, that will be able to run into the water faster than the man that may be carrying him on his shoulder. So all the 38 years, he was looking for a man. You know what that is teaching us? It is foolish to put hope in man. The Bible says we shouldn't even put our hope in princess or malade. Because the person in whom you put your hope may not be willing to help you. In some cases, He may be willing to help you. He may not have the resource to use to help you. In some cases, he may have the resources. But before being able to help you, he may die. I was talking with one of our babas the other day. A pastor. He told me of a member of his church that died. He said, "Do you?" And I know the man, an elderly person. He said, "Do you know that this man single-handedly built our church? He did not take money from any other person. He alone built the church." I was surprised. This is a church full of big men. But he said, "It's that man alone that built the church." He said recently, he told me that, "I don't like the condition of this church." What's he thinking about? Eh? Maybe renovation, rebuild, or something. But now, he's dead. Can he come back to build church? Don't put your hope in your senior brother. Don't put it in your friend. Put your hope in who? In God. When your hope is in God, God cannot die. He cannot be dethroned. He cannot lose his words. He cannot stop to be merciful. He cannot stop to be good. He may now use anybody to assist you. The man was looking for who would put him into the water, because that was the only means through which he thought he could be healed. But God sent help. How? Take up your bed and go home. He didn't say, "Run and enter the water." He didn't block the way and say, "Everybody stop. Nobody will come into this water until this man is there. Man, stay. When the angel troubles the water, you cannot go in." He didn't say so. He said, "Carry your bed and go home." And the man suddenly became whole. He was so excited that he did not even remember to say thank you or try to find out the identity of the one. He carried his bed and ran home straight away. You can also see the wickedness of man. Everybody is supposed to be rejoicing with this man. Am I right? But when the Pharisees heard of the miracle, this is another proof that this man is truly the Messiah. Which day he performed the miracle self? They said on the Sabbath day. That's a proof that is not good. If it's good, he will not do miracle on Sabbath day. Where is it written even in the law of Moses that man should not use his mouth to talk on the Sabbath day? Jesus did not touch the man. He didn't carry anything. He didn't inject the man. He only said, "Carry your bed and go home." Is there any part of the law of Moses that said man should not tell somebody to carry his bed? And Jesus asked them that when your house falls into the ditch, don't you bring it out on the Sabbath day? They brought it out on the Sabbath day. But do you know what? The rabbi had a law that says you don't carry anything from a public place to a private place on the Sabbath day. Neither do you carry from a private place to a public place on a Sabbath day. So you can carry your anything from one house to another if you are the owner of the house. But you cannot carry this box from the church here to a house next door, or carry something from that house to the church on the Sabbath day. All these funny laws. So to tell the man to carry his bed from the public place, Bethesda, to his house, was to commit offense. To use his mouth to heal, that's walking, on the Sabbath day, was an offense. They didn't know how to return the sickness to the body of the man. But they said, "You have committed sin. Show us the person that committed the sin with you." The man did not know who healed him. Thank God. Another day, Jesus found him in the temple. Where should somebody blessed by God be found? Eh? If it is some people, they will not go to church. But the man, he was used to staying in Bethesda. He decided to stay in the temple. So Jesus met him there. He didn't know Jesus, but Jesus said, "You have been made whole, sin no more. That something worse than this does not happen to you." He then knew it was Jesus. What do you expect the man to do? to kneel down. They thank you, he didn't say that day to now do what? Go and read your Bible. He didn't say thank you. He didn't bring offering. You know what he did? He ran to the Jew and said, Motiri, I found the man that healed me. This is the man that said I should carry my bed on the Sabbath day. And the people planned to kill Jesus. He said, was the healed man wicked? I don't know. Was he ungrateful? I don't know. Did he act foolishly? Oh, yes. Maybe he did it out of ignorance. But we have been told by lawyers that ignorance is not an excuse to break law. When you're out of ignorance, break law, you're out of ignorance, go to jail. It's most likely that he didn't know. But all the Jews knew the plan to kill Jesus. In fact, that day he healed the man. Do you know he did not heal other people? He could have healed other people, but he didn't heal them. You say, why? I don't know. The Bible tells us that he sneaked out of the place. He sneaked out of the place. This was the third time he performed miracle. Hallelujah. And after performing each of the miracles, proving that he was the Messiah, the Jews will think of what to do to eliminate him. The plan was to kill him, to assassinate him. Lastly, from this story, we could see the badness of sin. Jesus said, go and sin no more, so that something worse than this does not happen to you. What does that suggest to you? That problem came originally as a result of what? Come on. Children, I've told you, stay in the will of God. The sin you commit today may prepare trouble for your tomorrow. It's not God that will punish you. It's not Satan that is coming to prove the problem. It is that sin that will lay the foundation that becomes a problem to you tomorrow. Some of these things are not emphasized in the church, so that we don't put salt into the injuries of some people. If we have to be explaining that if you do this, it will result to this, if you do this, it will bring this, if you do this, it will bring this, we may be referring to some of the problems some people are currently going through. And that may look as if we are renewing their trouble, their sorrow. What is good for your life is to stay in the will of God. You enjoy the peace of God. But when you go secretly and do what you ask not to do, evil things will be happening within you, happening in your life secretly, laying foundation for trouble of tomorrow. So he was told, sin no more, so that something worse than this does not happen to you. From there you can see that the original source of that problem was sin. So sin created a problem that made him to suffer for only God knows how many years. But at least he had been at Bethesda for 38 years. Who knows? Yeah, if he had been sick for 5 years before hearing about Bethesda. Who knows? If he had been sick for 2 years before knowing of Bethesda and spent 38 years there, it means that sin had brought problem of 40 years to his life. Not only that, Jesus said, now that he is healed, if he will go back to sin, something worse than the problem of 38 years, which means he can still encounter, experience a worse situation than the one he has gone through. Maybe you too, you have sinned, you have suffered openly or secretly, or you are even suffering. If you continue in sin, if you go back to sin, something worse than the one you are suffering now may be waiting for you. When you then say, God, have mercy on me. Let me ask you a question. Are you alive? I know God is merciful. Am I the one who just said it? But there are something you need to understand. Look at me. If somebody go to steal, he put his hand through the window into a house to steal something, and somebody inside the house use big cutlass, panel, and remove the hand. Fail. and he removed his hand. Will he stay and fight the man? Eh? You got my hand. You got my hand. I report to the police. Will he report to police? What will he do? He will do what everybody? Leaving his hand behind. Will he come back the following day to pick his hand? Come on. Will you go to hospital and say, go and retrieve my hand from there and help me to attach it to this? He become one-handed man from that day. Am I correct? If one day he hears the gospel and gives his life to Jesus and then say, Father, have mercy on me, will God forgive him? Will God have mercy on him? Will his hand be restored? No, come, come. Will God forgive him?
Yes.
Will God show him mercy?
Yes.
Will God answer his prayer?
Yes.
Will his hand come back?
No.
He will carry the evidences of his sin the rest of his life. Is that the case? Do you know that some people are carrying their system inwardly today? The evidences of the sin of yesterday. Like a child that goes to commit immorality and then become pregnant. Why hiding the pregnancy or trying to abort it, develop problem, and they remove his womb. If he now gives his life to Jesus and asks for forgiveness, will Jesus forgive him? Eh? Will that bring back the womb? Huh? Without womb, will he be able to give back to children? Then when children refuse to come, what's the cause of his childlessness? Wishes and wizards. Eh? His sin. Is it his sin? Shall God has forgiven him? When your injury is healed, the scar will still be there. Stand up and let us pray. Jesus, here am I. Help me. Pray for yourself. Jesus, here am I. Help me. I will give all my life. I serving you. Jesus, here am I. Help me. Everybody sing it. Jesus, here am I. Help me. Jesus, here am I. Help me. I will give all my life, always serving you. Jesus, here am I. Help me. Look at me. Somebody is secretly smoking now. He comes to church and pretends. If he repents tomorrow, will God forgive him? Yeah. Eh? God show me mercy. Will God show him mercy? But he can still develop lung cancer. Born again. Is that where the cancer come from? The deposit of the cigarette in his lung. They still bring cancer. There are those who think that whatever I do should be, I will ask God to forgive me. I will forgive. God will forgive you. But if that sin has created problems in your life, the forgiveness may not automatically remove the problem. If you go to sin and through that your leg is amputated, by the time you receive the mercy of God, you are forgiven. You may have the joy of salvation. That does not bring back your leg. So it's good you run from sin. Though Jesus healed the man, he knew that the mercy he extended to the man will not solve the problem of tomorrow if the man will return to sin. Oh Lord, this your mercy I have received. May I not lose it. Give me the grace to stay within the circle of mercy all the remaining days of my life. Pray for yourself. Give me the grace to stay and remain within the circle of your mercy, to have no reason to get out of your circle. Have mercy on me, O Lord. I will give all my life,
always serving you. Jesus, Yarama, help me, oh. Jesus, Yarama, help me. Jesus, Yarama, help me. Jesus, Yarama, help me. In Jesus' name we pray. Thank you, our Father. Pray be to your name in Jesus' name. What you have said to us, may we not forget. Cause to guide the remaining days of our lives. As we go out today, cause your presence to go with us. All the offerings we bring, receive and bless and use for the progress of your work. Bless us in return. May we never lack. In Jesus' name we pray.